America behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I am Ben Bolin. I was pausing because I was going to give myself a nickname in the middle of it, but I couldn't come up with anything.
I just thought it was a dramatic pause.
Oh man, I'm trying to be as undramatic as possible. I'm a live and let live type of dude.
Understood.
Yeah.
Understood. Hey Ben, we've talked about Pinewood Derby cars, right?
Yes.
And we've talked about, have we talked about CO2 power cars yet? Maybe not.
No, everybody acts surprised when we do though.
Yeah. No, we've got an article on our site about CO2 powered cars also.
And tethered cars we talked about.
What was that?
We talked about tethered cars as well.
That's right. Yeah. So we talk about model cars and toy cars and things like that along the way.
Slot cars.
That's right. This is a different kind. This is a kind of, build it yourself, kind of like Pinewood Derby or the CO2 cars we mentioned. The interesting thing about these cars, though, is that they're powered by a mousetrap.
Which is a fascinating thing. To me, it was news. You know, this is something, if you want to be the cool uncle or the cool dad or cool mom or something, you're looking for a good science project, I would recommend this one, especially if your kids are into any sort of engineering or car stuff.
Sure. How are you at physics?
I am hilarious at physics.
Okay.
I'm okay with it.
Then I think we may be in trouble because I'm not very good at physics at all. But there's a lot of physics involved in this, in this exactly what's happening, kinetic energy and, stored energy. And, you know, here it just – there's a lot involved here, low resistance, low friction, low coefficient. You know, just a lot of different things that are involved here that I don't know if I can get into great detail about all of this, but – that should come from maybe, lessons learned throughout building one of these things. Cause, there are kits that are available.
Oh, numerous kits.
Numerous kits, lots of information online that you can find out exactly what's happening and how these things, why they do what they do and how to make them, achieve better distances, greater speeds, things like that. But, maybe I think what we should do is just describe what they are because a lot of people probably have no idea what a mousetrap powered car really is.
Right. Hopefully a lot of people are like I was and immediately thought of the game Mousetrap, which, if you recall the board game, Scott.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah. It was a pain to put that thing together.
I still have that game.
You still have it?
I do.
Do you have all the pieces?
I played it recently.
It is so weird how you impress me every time we're on the air, especially when it's stuff like that.
You know, it's a newer version, so it wasn't like it's made it through the decades without losing all the pieces, because I'm sure that my old version is probably gone.
Yeah, and Mousetrap is a Rube Goldberg-esque kind of thing. Now, Rube Goldberg is the guy who invented these really indirect, humorous inventions that take forever to butter your toast.
Like the beginning of Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Absolutely.
Or that Honda commercial.
Spot on.
Yeah.
You're on a roll, man.
That's right. These are, complex machines.
What we're talking about is a mousetrap-powered car, and we're going to start with the engine, the mousetrap. Now, people are familiar with mousetraps.
Yeah.
I would assume, basically the way a mousetrap works is that you press down a bar. Now this bar has a spring loaded on it, right? Mm-hmm. And you use a plate and a hitch to hold that bar down until a force depresses the plate, at which point the stored energy, of the mouse trap there, the bar part, swings forward with tremendous, potentially deadly force.
From the spring.
And, springs forward. My bad. And, the results can be pretty ugly.
Well, yeah, it's, just to say it outright, it breaks the mouse's neck.
Yes.
Is what it does, really. It snaps them and kills them. Now this version is, what we're talking about here, you remove some of that danger, right? It's not like you're getting your finger in the way of a mousetrap that's going to snap your finger off or anything like that. Have you ever been hit by a mousetrap? They hurt, but they don't do that much damage, really.
Right.
But
they're not going to break you.
We're talking about a modified mousetrap really here. And the whole kit, when you buy a mousetrap, and I recommend you buy a kit first mm-hmm. rather than try to build your own right after.
I think that's
start.
A good point, Scott.
But there are a lot of instructions online on how to do this, but you can go to a hobby shop and buy a kit. There's a company, I think it's called Doc Physics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Doc Fizz.
Doc Physics, which is FIZZIX or something like that.
Get it?
Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah. It's, but it's you can buy the whole thing right there. Every part you need is there, except for maybe even the glue. That I'm not sure. But the interesting thing is that you modify the trap in order for it to work, and it's not this arm that will come down and strike your finger when you release it.
No.
The way it's modified is that the swing arm, the arm that comes over, you cut that. So that the spring in one bar is still attached to to the spring.
Right.
And then you add an extension to that.
Which you might tie like string, for instance.
Exactly. The very end of it, you tie a string. I think the kit comes with Kevlar string or something like that. It's a real strong string.
Mm-hmm.
And then the string is then pulled back using the power of this big rod using the power of the spring. Pulled back on itself and attached to the rear axle of the vehicle, which has a small hook on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the hook, it's designed so that the string releases from the hook when it gets to the full length of its pull.
Mm-hmm.
But you wind it up on the axle so that it coils up exactly, it won't get all tangled up. And then when you release the tension on the spring. The vehicle, it drives the wheels forward.
Zoom.
Yeah, well, potentially
I know.
Zoom.
Potentially. And yeah, there are some factors.
There are some fast ones.
Yes, there are some fast ones. And there are also some that go pretty close. Like there are some that can go pretty far distances, considering it's powered by one of the big differences, right, is that this is powered by one action, like one if you will, one burst of energy.
Yeah, think about the distance that spring travels,
mm-hmm.
that bar would travel, I guess, powered by the spring.
Yeah.
It's not very great.
No, we've got an article on this, and people who are building these mousetrap cars, because there is a fairly vibrant community involved in this. This is such a great school project.
Oh, sure. There's tons of videos. And like I said, there's a lot of sites online that'll tell you how to perfect your designs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Geek Dad covers mousetrap cars, of course. But to the point of the distance, there are people who have said that they've reached almost 300 feet.
That's a pretty good distance.
That is a very long distance.
That's
one, if you think about it, it's that one reaction from the mousetrap.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, you can just picture this in your mind. I mean, if you don't have access to online use right now, think about the distance that arm travels. How would you harness that to make a vehicle travel 300 feet? That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
And a lot of it turns out, when you're talking about making, like a long distance traveling vehicle, that Doc Physics site that I mentioned, which you could find, it's just DOCFIZZIX. .com. And you can find out that kind of the secrets of making a long distance vehicle or making a fast mousetrap racer.
Which are not the same.
Big difference in the design of these vehicles here. So, when you're building a distance vehicle, what you want to do is this is kind of strange. You minimize the power output, and you try to keep it to the slowest release possible. So you try to slow down the motion of that spring, which you do with a different length rod.
Mm-hmm.
You do that with longer string. The wheel size has a great deal to do with it as well. And the axle size. And I mean, just there's a lot of different things that you can do to make the vehicle, competitive in distance. And then you can use graphite powders for, to reduce friction.
Right. And you want it lightweight.
Oh, one other thing. We didn't even touch on this really.
What's that?
The wheels.
Oh,
the wheels. Because you can use wheels from a remote control car.
Mm-hmm.
You could use, Lego wheels or anything you want.
Potentially, you could use anything as long as it's round.
Yeah, exactly. You can, as long as it's round, you can attach an axle to it. You can, you can use that wheel. But Ben, what do most people use for these?
Excellent question. Most people use CDs. Of course, this is where you and I date ourselves, Scott, because most people in this day and age are probably using CDs and DVDs.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I've even seen, there are some photos of some people using records.
Yes.
Vinyl records.
And that photo, some of those photos are on unconventional vehicles. We should go ahead and mention that just like other racing vehicles, if I could be so bold as to suggest this, mm-hmm. We do see people messing with unconventional designs, mm-hmm. three-wheel vehicles. There are even rumors about some two-wheelers out
there. Yeah, I've seen those. They try to balance the trap between two wheels on a single axle, mm-hmm. Using a semi-complex gearing system, mm-hmm. in order to get the power transfer below the vehicle to the wheels. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they use CDs, they use records, they use these real tall, thin, extremely low friction wheels, and that's the key here. Is that, you know, you're trying to keep the vehicle from having to push itself forward.
Yeah, it should just roll like it's on butter.
Yeah, exactly. Like instead of like having to push a great big fat rubber wheel down the road, mm-hmm. This just has to push a very thin. Think about the contact patch of a CD on its edge.
Good question.
Very, very small. Yeah. And you know, as far as distance, that's definitely something that you want to want to have.
So
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to point out also that this. You can see a lot of the values of hypermiling, excuse me, incorporated into this.
That's true.
Yeah, because the weight to power ratio.
Yeah, and they're always trying to find the best weight, you know, the lowest coefficient of drag. And I mean, when you start talking about these, it's really funny because you talk about a speedster versus long distance, and they actually talk about wind resistance on the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about heat generated by the vehicle. Friction between the wheels and the ground, you know, so it's rolling resistance. And like I said, there's a lot of physics involved here, that, you know, it's a good lesson. It's a fun toy and a good lesson in physics at the very same time.
Can I give you an anecdote?
Sure.
Okay. This reminds me, as a kid, I didn't get the experience of using mousetrap, powered cars, probably because I was from a fairly irresponsible, generation. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We did have extensive experience with Pine Derby cars.
Oh.
And you learn a lot of the same things. I remember it was so cool, Scott. We had this software program in the class where we were building these Pinewood Derby cars, and it would let you sort of model the thing in a rough two-dimensional way. And you could say, oh, if I make this engine bigger and if I go to a smaller engine but reduce the weight and slightly change the shape,
mm-hmm.
it'll make such a difference. When we were working with those, it was probably one of the most illuminating ways to learn concepts like aerodynamics and the physics involved in weight to power ratios. So if you want your kids to really encounter racing in a way that, or if you yourself would like to encounter racing in a way that will let you participate in the learning experience, you can't beat stuff like this.
No, because you can modify this any way you want. You see racers that are all different shapes and sizes. You know, they use balsa wood a lot. They use foam core for the body.
Mm-hmm.
Like we mentioned, you know, CDs for the wheels, but you could use rubber wheels if you wanted to. You could use a CD with a rubber band wrapped around the wheel for traction if you wanted something, you know, with more of a grip mm-hmm. surface for speed. You can have a long dragster type. You could have a very short squat type that's, you know, like real, almost like a compact car.
Yeah.
You can use a rat trap instead of a mouse trap, so it's a much bigger spring.
Mm-hmm.
You could use two mouse traps and power both axles at the same time. That's maybe a little bit more tricky, but you can deal with different axle diameters.
And you can do gears too by the strings.
Exactly. Yeah, different gears. Oh, you know, another thing I heard is you can have a graduated axle where it has different sizes, you know, for the axle where you wind the string. So you maybe have more power at takeoff and then less power as you're driving.
Okay.
So this is where it gets really advanced.
You
can say like it'll have a strong takeoff. It won't immediately start at a slow speed. It'll mm-hmm. start quickly and then at a certain point, you know, maybe
it'll sort of plateau
20 feet away. Yeah, exactly. It slows down and then it's going for distance.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just a million ways you could modify these things. And I think it's just a good weekend type project if you wanted to just kind of have fun with something around the house. One thing I do want to mention before we wrap up, though.
Yes.
They also make mousetrap powered boats. You can make kind of like a paddle boat out of
really?
These things as well. Yeah, it's really. I mean, if you think about it, it's the same type of thing. You're spinning
yeah.
the axle.
Yeah.
You're
okay.
spinning the axle to make the wheel spin.
Uh-huh.
In this case, you'd be spinning another axle to make a paddle spin at the back of the boat.
Cool.
And I don't know. It's just an interesting. I wouldn't call it a hobby. I'd call it more of a,
it's like a science experiment.
Yeah, an experiment, I guess.
But you can, now you can, of course, race them. So if you're a teacher, for instance, mm-hmm. you can have your students, race them. And maybe it's interesting to have them have one part of the class pursue speed mm-hmm. and one part pursue distance.
Oh, and see how they tackle it.
Yeah. And see what they learn from that.
And look at the variation in designs because mm-hmm. you're going to find a ton of variation. They shouldn't all be the same. That's one thing that probably won't happen.
You know what's really cool about the place that you and I work at, Scott, is that we can probably get away with building a mousetrap car. If people walked by our desk in our area, they would probably just keep going.
I don't think anybody would. Well, they may say that, you know,
they may check if to see if we have mice. That's maybe, probably it.
Maybe. Yeah. But I bet you we could probably build two and even race them down the hallway and no one would think twice about it.
Oh, no. Yeah, of course not. And if they did, we would just be like, oh, come on.
Maybe we should do this because I know a hobby shop that sells them and they're not expensive.
They're relatively inexpensive.
Very
for the whole
inexpensive.
Kit.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're a kid in school right now, you may want to suggest to a teacher that, you know, something, this would be an interesting lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. And let us know how it turns out because we'd be very interested to hear this. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Scott, should we go for designing performance vehicles here or for long distance haulers?
Oh, performance vehicles.
That's what I figure.
Yeah.
I mean,
we don't have – the hallways aren't that long.
I mean, 300 meters – I mean, 300 feet, excuse me.
It's tough to beat.
Yeah. And that – honestly, that would take a while because I'm sure we would get to the point – where we would overthink it and we would do the gears in a very advanced design. So it would just plateau and then we would spend 20 minutes watching that thing just drift off.
Yeah, because they do take a long time to go that distance.
Mm-hmm.
It's remarkable how slow they go, but the distance that they do travel.
Yeah, from the videos, I get the sense it's a friction game.
Yeah.
Toward the end.
Yep.
But speaking of the end, do you want to do some listener mail?
I do.
Okay, Scott, I want to let you know I get in trouble in this one, just a little bit.
You get in trouble.
I get in trouble.
Okay.
It's a good point, and I want to read on the air. So, John writes in to say, "Hi, Scott and Ben. My name is John. I'm from Pittsburgh. However, more importantly, I am an Eagle Scout, as am I, as you know, Scott."
Mm-hmm.
In your episode, Screwdrive Vehicles, I believe it was Ben that said he was an Eagle Scout. This is my largest pet peeve. Once you become an Eagle Scout, no matter what you do in life, you are always an Eagle Scout. If someone was an Eagle Scout, they're no longer with us because they've passed. And seeing how I can still enjoy your podcast, I assume you are an Eagle Scout. No hard feelings. Thank you for reading my message. John, as I wrote back to John, I thought that was a good point.
Mm-hmm.
And he's absolutely right. That is one of the things that will irritate, Eagle Scouts. So not only to you, John, but to, the Eagle Scouts out there listening, thank you for checking out our show. And I promise it is a slip that I will not make again.
Eagle Scout forever.
Eagle Scout forever.
Got it.
Just like that tattoo I've got. No, I'm kidding.
I'll remember that.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and head out. Thanks so much for giving us a listen today, guys. We hope you enjoyed our podcast and sort of advocation of mousetrap powered vehicles. Write to us and tell us if you built one, how far did it go?
Well, if you're good at physics.
Yeah.
Explain these things to us. Cause, you know, a lot of that stuff that we mentioned earlier kind of glazed over that, but you know, there's a lot of important lessons there.
Right. We didn't want to tangle with equations and trip ourselves up.
Yeah. Because I just don't know.
Well, I feel like I know enough about it to embarrass us.
I bet you could. I probably could.
Well, we'll see. I'm sure one of our listeners will help us out. You guys can write to us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. We've got a blog. You may have heard of a website, howstuffworks.com. You're probably familiar with this spiel, and you always know that we end with the email address.
At carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.